Well, today's the feast of the Epiphany. Epiphany is a Greek word, epiphania, manifestation. And so there was the Magi. You know, the Orthodox Church say talk about 12 Magi went to the Epiphany. They went to see the child. There were 12 representing the 12 tribes of Israel, I think. And so we say there were 3, but you know, what's the big deal? Oh, by the way, I think tomorrow, on the Feast of the Epiphany over there in the Gulf of Mexico, the Orthodox Church, they throw the cross in the water, and the youth are there, and whoever jumps in first and retrieves the cross is given certain recognition. And young people, so they'll have a nice crowd. I saw a little bit on television last year. So if you get a chance, tune into Gulf of Mexico. Well, the three kings, you know, we don't know how far the trip was that they made. It could have been 1,000 miles, and it was through desert. They went through dangerous territories, and so there was a lot of hard work. They sat on those camels and they went and they got there. And when they got to where Jesus was and Mary and Joseph, it says that they prostrated themselves, which means they laid down on their belly and arms outstretched. And they did this in total submission to the infant. They saw and believed, surely. And so they were kings, and you know, they were pagans. And you know, the big idea here is this. This is the revelation from God himself, and those pagans coming, getting the faith, prostrating themselves. So here's the doctrine, the universal character of the Epiphany, universal character of salvation. Salvation, God has set up salvation to come to all peoples. And his love stretches out to everybody. And he must be finding it hard at times to stretch out his love. But actually, we can't say that. But his love is always there. Our God is a God of compassion, full of gentleness and forgiveness. Well, you heard John the Baptist when he first introduced Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And you know, John called Jesus a lamb. You know, a lamb exists totally to serve man. We get wool. From the wool, we make clothing. And from the meat, we have food. The lamb exists totally to serve man and other creatures for food and clothing. But its total existence is to serve. And that's the attitude of God himself with us. That's why we say it every day 3 times. Behold the Lamb of God. Well, now I want to get into the sermon. I didn't get into the sermon. So I want to talk about trusting in God. Because, you know, that's what the Epiphany is all about. To trust in God. To place our faith in him. Now, it really isn't a great matter of importance to have, whether we're 12 kings or 3. Who cares? Who wants to argue with it? It really isn't of great importance to know how many miles they traveled to the newborn king. It really isn't important to believe that they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But that's what they did. Well, that's not important. You know, Fulton Sheen used to say, they brought gold because with a future idea that he will be king of heaven. And you give gold to a king. And they brought myrrh because with a future look to the cross, he was going to die on the cross. So myrrh was to anoint his body. And then incense, Fulton Sheen says, they brought incense because they saw that this Jesus would be a priest. And the priest offers incense at the place of worship. And what is so important about this feast day is that three wise men had a sense of trust that God would lead them to a small town in Bethlehem and that they would be able to meet the Son of God. What a motivation in their mind to see the Son of God. That's why we're going. What firm trust they had on that trip. No danger is big enough to stop us. Surely, no danger. They proceeded with courage and faith. It was given to them by God, just like the faith is given to us by God. Their journey to find Christ in a stable was a journey of trust. They left their homes, they left all luxuries and their status in life gave them. They left all their loved ones to find God in the person of a child named Jesus Christ. Their trip to find God was based on trust that God would lead them to that stable in Bethlehem. That was 2,000 years ago, and God asked each one of us to share the same trip, the journey of our lives. We're all on a journey, the journey of life. Preachers and people talk about the journey that we're on. We are on a journey. And sometimes we say, are we? I didn't go anywhere. But just to live life and the demands, and in this age, you got to be a technologist to survive, but the journey we're on is a very difficult journey, more difficult now than ever before. But trust is demanded when things don't go your own way. It takes trust to have one realize that God knows what he is doing when he brings something tragic into your life. It takes trust when something tragic comes in your life. Why, God, doing this? The whole story of the child who left the stable in Bethlehem, who grew up as an adolescent, who faced all sorts of adolescent problems, is a story of trust. The whole story of Joseph, not being able to find work in the land because he was Jewish, is a story of trust. The whole story of Mary growing on the road to Calvary, seeing her son whipped. Mary, seeing her son whipped, carrying the cross, and seeing him fall at least three times. Surely, a story of trust. The whole of this Christmas story, the whole story of the Epiphany, is one of constant reminders about the importance of trust in all our lives. And this story of the Epiphany, as beautiful as it is with the imagery of what the wise men were and where they came from and what they brought is so beautiful. But it is one of trust. Almost all the followers of Jesus Christ in their daily lives have had to implement. Just think of it. Mary had to give birth to her firstborn in a stable. Can you imagine how she had to trust that God would provide at this most beautiful time in her life? Just think of it. Mary and Joseph are told in a dream to make haste because the same Christ life could be at stake. Joseph, get up, take the child and flee. And Joseph, he didn't turn over in bed. He got the order to get up and go. And Joseph says, quietly takes off and goes. Doesn't roll over in bed and say, no, not now, a little later. At that time, God asks us on a personal daily basis to have us realize the virtue of personal trust. This does not mean sitting back and being clinically passive. It means, as St. Augustine said, you know, here's what St. Augustine says, that when a problem occurs, you work as if everything depended on you and pray as if everything depended on God. How true that is. Augustine was so right. When you look at the life of St. Monica, who prayed over 19 years for the conversion of her son Augustine. 19 years she prayed. You think she had trust? Perseverance? Certainly. 19 years. And here was the most famous or infamous delinquent of all history, it says of Augustine. Most famous or infamous of all history. Got a not too good of a record. He's a bad boy. Not all the time. He experimented in drugs, got involved in homosexual acts, fathered an illegitimate child, and yet because of a prayer life of a mother like Monica, his life turned around and he became a Catholic, Augustine. But he couldn't understand the Trinity. He was a very brilliant man, and he refused to be converted. His mother was after him. No way, Jose, right? But finally, he was converted. He became a Catholic priest, a Catholic bishop, and finally a Catholic saint. And as one of her biographers wrote about Monica, she became the living example that trusting God is sought after, especially when things don't go our own way. She saw that things just don't go her way. So she prayed. God writes in crooked circles and crooked lines and reasons he never gives. But as St. Bernard said in his prayer, the Memorare, no one who goes to him will be left unaided. No one who goes to God will be left unaided. St. Bernard. There was one privilege that you cannot afford to deny yourself, the privilege of personally trusting in God. It takes faith, and especially when things don't go right. And when you have pain, aches, doesn't you wonder, why am I have to hurt? God never told us that we would go through the world untroubled, surely. He never promised us a rose garden. Remember that? I think there's a song that goes like that, right? I didn't promise you a rose garden. He never said that every day would be better and each year richer. What he did say is that if you have confidence in me, I will help you overcome this world. Probably no man has written more eloquently on the meaning of trust. He once said that regardless of the problems that you face in life, you must face life from the point of view of God. You must face it from the point of view of God. God allows this to happen. He knows this happens. Why does it happen? God knows and he's not telling you. Maybe it's better you don't know. Maybe it's better that you know. His ways are not our ways. And we can't figure out what God wants sometimes. God has put you on this earth for a mission. You are a link in a chain. A link in a chain. That's what you are. Did you ever think of yourself that way? Or do you think of yourself not even a link in a chain? Something to think about. Why am I not a link in the chain? The chain of what? A chain, you know, charity, compassion, that's a chain. That's a link. He has committed a work to you that he has committed to no other. Your work is different from mine, but each has a special work, and how you perform your mission in this life might never be known in this life, but will be known in the life to come. But in any event, you remember St. Thomas More, Chancellor of England. He was put to death. The king wanted to know, Thomas, tell me about my marriage. And Thomas refused to say about his marriage. And, you know, Thomas was a chancellor, right? And he was a Roman Catholic working for the king. Whew. And so the king says, finally, if you don't tell me, you're going to die. But his own daughter, Now, here's what his daughter says. She pleaded with her father, Thomas More, to change his beliefs. Please change your beliefs. How much more do you think that God wants of you, she said. Please change. She begged with him. And here's what it says. Haven't you done as much as God can possibly want? And her father now, here's what the words of her father, very precious now. Words of her father, Thomas More, here's what he says. Her father lovingly looked at her and said, Margaret, all of life, mine and yours, isn't just a matter of reason. It is a matter of trust in God. St. Thomas More. Well, the end of the sermon. I hope I wasn't too long.